Hello, welcome to Fireside Chats. My name is Magla Pillay, and today we will be taking up the subject of perspective. In this series, we look at a variety of subjects revolving around spirituality, what the core of spirituality is, what does it mean to you as an individual, how spirituality impacts on your consciousness, what your relationship with God is, and whether you can deepen your understanding and connection with Him so that you yourself are content with your connection with God. Sister Denise, our speaker for today, has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation for over 40 years, and she is a mine of interesting and fascinating knowledge about the subject of spirituality. Sister Denise, very warm welcome to today's show.
Thank you so much.
Tell us perspective. Perspective of what?
Perspective, you could say, or angle. You know, in art, perspective is all about whether you can see things in relationship to the rest. And in fact, in the history of art, you find that it was, I can't remember exactly when, but maybe 16th, 17th century that perspective entered into it. Otherwise, in earlier art, medieval art, for example, there's absolutely no perspective at all. It's kind of flat, without depth. And I think that the word perspective, when it comes to matters of the spirit, has everything to do with whether we are looking at it at an angle that shows the necessary rest of the picture in a right perspective. And sometimes people have a very distorted perspective on things, and so from being spiritually balanced, they can become extreme, or they can become, well, I could say they're dreaming. It's not grounded. You know, sometimes we say in spiritual practice that, okay, you can have your head way up above the clouds, provided your feet are firmly fixed on the ground. Because if you're floating around like on some untethered balloon, it's not going to work.
Sister Denise, how is perspective related to perception?
Well, I think it is related to perception very much. And what I feel is important is the holistic angle, where you take into consideration the whole picture. You see, if you say, well, spirituality means I turn my back on the world, my back on the responsibilities, and I go off in that direction, there you, I would say you do have something wrong happening. Because spirituality is not a rejection of the world. What spirituality is to take into consideration the spiritual component and the material component, and to see that the spiritual aspect is a dominant aspect. But if you disregard or deny the physical part, then you become very distorted, you see.
Okay. Sister Denise, let us go through history for a moment. How does one reach the stage of having a distorted perspective on reality? Because nobody wants to be ignorant of what the world is. It's a very unpleasant state to be in. But where does the distortion arise? Do you inherit it? Are you born with it? Is the spirit of and the soul of a child contaminated by it during his childhood?
I think part of it is to do with superstition and things that you believe that are non-rational or irrational because of something. So there are some periods of time where people, you know, believe that if people are sick, it means that there's an evil spirit around and you have to destroy that person, otherwise the evil spirit's going to come to everybody else, you know. And now we talk about contagious illnesses, which has nothing to do with any evil spirit. I think that the present time, people will experience issues that are to do with spiritual vacuum, and the materialistic culture will say, well, you're just imagining things, you know, stop making things up, you know, and that will be sort of invalidated. So it seems to me that these preconceptions are very much culprits in that situation. You know, sometimes there are social attitudes which become popularized through influential people, and then that causes things to really go wrong. And I think that things that might have happened historically a very, very long time ago can easily get, you can say they can resurge, and people can start behaving in ways that we think went out a long time ago, and all of a sudden it's back, and we start behaving in very primitive ways or very strange ways that don't correspond to what we think of as the modern world.
So this is an internal problem which can be cured. How does, okay, not?
I don't think so.
It can't be cured? A distorted perspective can't be cured?
You know, if you have a distorted perspective, you're pretty much attached to it. So I don't think it's about curing it. To get a person to give up a perspective that they're attached to, they will resist every effort that you make to cure them or whatever. It's a little bit like trying to cure somebody from being gay. It's not an illness. It's just that's the way it is. And maybe people are prejudiced against it, or they don't like it, or they think there's something wrong and you have to cure them of it. So you might do something very drastic, but it won't make any difference to anything, you see. If a person is really, really distorted in their angle on things, it has to do with some sort of context that allowed that to happen. And so it's possible that maybe through some kind of therapy or some kind of psychological work, they can be brought to see things the way everybody else sees them. But I think what we're looking at is something very primordial. And because religion and superstition and hysteria and all of this can get really tied up with each other, you know, you can get people having angles on things that is really way out. And I don't know how easy it is to bring somebody down to earth when they're really sort of hell-bent on staying that way.
So then what's the answer? Because the distorted perspective cannot possibly be healthy for that individual or the community in which he lives. And Sister Denise, is it not so that all of humanity's perspective is distorted? The only question is to what degree?
Well, I think that's a very important question. If you are slightly off, then it's simply a matter of some lens work so that your perspective can be brought back. You're a little bit off. When you're way off, it may be too hard, too much work. Because, you know, a person who says, okay, I think I've got a really distorted perspective, could you please set me right? That's very unlikely. Because the person with a distorted perspective thinks you have a distorted perspective.
Mm.
So they don't want to have your kind of distorted perspective, and you think they've got a distorted perspective, and it becomes he says, she says, you see. Mm. So I think really a person who is balanced, who is grounded, who has a good sense of you know, the interface between the material and the spiritual, they are in a very good position to refine their perspective and get some fine tuning. And I think that it's probably more worthwhile to follow that line than to try to get somebody who is very, very off from the norm, you can say, why would you put the energy for that? You know, the person really has to come along and say, look, you know, I'm convinced that I've got it all wrong. Can you please sit down with me, and I'm open. You know, if you find somebody like that, that's good, but they're not likely to be all that far off track.
Okay. So, Sister Denise, the problem, maybe the distorted perspective, but it manifests in what, sorrow or unhappy life or what? How does it manifest? Because you don't realize that your perspective is the problem. You only realize when you're suffering that all is not well.
You know, there are things that people have fixed ideas. You know, they say, for example, it comes in some scriptures and so on, that God is unknowable. And anybody who claims to know God must be a manifestation of evil. Now, there are people with that kind of perspective. Mm. So they take a premise and they apply what I call faulty logic, because their premise is, their procedure, their process of using logic is incoherent. And there is where you get somebody who is more like fanatical because of that fixed idea, you see. And there is a lot of people like that who will interpret sentences from the scriptures in ways that are really extremist or fanatical, and these people will not have the capacity for critical thinking, for analysis. They have a vested interest in not doing so, and so if they don't want clarity, that's their choice. You know, you can't impose intelligence on people, you can't impose sensitivity on people who are insensitive, but what can happen is when things start to really go wrong for somebody who's having a really fixed idea, then that may be bad enough for them to start questioning their own position. And when a person is in that situation, then they might look for some clarity. Then you can have a conversation, and that may create a more clear and less distorted situation, and that's a good fortune.
Sister Denise, God is aware that all of humanity has a different perspective as to who and what they are, and also what He is. Okay, how does He cut through all of these various layers and all of the entanglement and make Himself known? That could possibly be an easy job.
Well, God is very competent.
Yeah, okay, tell us how He pulls it off. Mm-hmm.
Well, for example,
the image of Sleeping Beauty comes to mind, where humanity is Sleeping Beauty and He's got to go through a forest of ignorance and God is the prince. So how does He get through the forest?
I don't think God has any problem with any forests. I think God will act in quite a different way, because God knows who He is very well. And God knows also very well that there are very, very few, He says, there are very, very few who know Me as I am and what I am. And this sentence occurs in different scriptures. And then someone who is studying the scriptures will look at a sentence like that and say, okay, you know, I want to know You exactly as You are, you know. And I was one of those who was saying to God, you know, I want to know You exactly and precisely as You are. And then I experience something really very extraordinary, which is a sort of a visionary experience of the point of light with a force field of bliss around it. And I thought, never heard of something like this. I need a priest, I need an explanation. Send me someone to explain this. And then I saw a picture of the person who subsequently became my mentor in terms of my spiritual practice. And I found that very extraordinary because, you know, the way that God describes himself is, you know, I'm the Supreme Being, I'm the Supreme Soul. I am the infinitesimal point of light. I am the infinite ocean of purity, wisdom, love, truth. You know, a human being's mind has great difficulty to grasp that because our mind, our intellect is so gross and so limited to what is capable of being perceived through the five senses. And all of the spiritual literature, or almost all of it, whenever anybody talks about an experience of God, it'll be in analogous terms. You know, it was like 100,000 suns. It was like, you know, soft cotton wool falling from the sky. You know, they will make analogies because they cannot say what it is. They can say what it feels like. Or they can say, well, it can't be described. It's indescribable. So we are so limited because of the mind and intellect being stuck in sense perceptions. So, you know, there is something called intellectual consciousness, where a person is able to conceptualize things that are outside the range of perception, aided or unaided, like mathematics, you know. But how many great mathematicians are there? There's only a few people, and they are, you know, in a sort of different headspace. And still, the world of mathematics is a doorway into spirituality, and the world of music and mathematics together can be a doorway into spirituality. But it is so refined and sophisticated that the overwhelming majority of people cannot go anywhere near there. This is a very, very rare mental capacity. And in the same way, there are people, you can say spiritual philosophers, who are able to take a point of information like that and wrap their mind around it to be able to grasp it, you see. But that is quite rare. Now, God's response to people of that nature would be quite powerful, you see, because, you know, God says there are very, very few who can recognize me, perceive me, know me as I am. And so those who do, it means there's an instant bond. And so something very special happens between that soul and God, and then that soul becomes a beacon in the world, but the world may not recognize them. Look what happened to Jesus Christ. That didn't go very well. You know, got crucified. Of course, transcended, transfiguration and everything, but, you know, what I'm trying to say is that the general run-of-the-mill people, when they come across something like that, they just have destructive attitude towards it. They don't like anything that you can't understand.
Mr. Denise, if somebody is aware that their perspective is wrong and they would like to heal from that, make it right, put it right, learn how to function like this as a human being as opposed to this or this. How does one go about doing just that?
I think it really doesn't work like that. What I feel is a person is trying to understand spiritual things, and they think their perspective is just fine. And then as they start to study spiritual matters, as they start to meditate, they begin to discover that their perspective is not that fine, and that they have to shift it because the information that's coming into them forces them to come to terms with the fact that this perspective they had on life is not okay. And it's when you get this moment of understanding that, hey, whatever I thought, it's not. So you make little shifts, tiny little shifts. And then after a while, you stay there with that perspective. And then all of a sudden, the information, the meditation, the experiences that you're getting create another little shift. So it's this incremental little shifts, then you don't know how far it's going to go. You aren't able to see that you are distorted until you become less distorted than you were, but you don't know how far the change has to occur before you see totally clearly, because what you don't know, you can't imagine it until it comes into your perception.
Okay. And Sister Denise, unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to you right now. Tell me, God's way of healing this, God's way of putting this right. You want to tell us briefly how he goes about doing it? Like you shared in an earlier episode, that one of God's job is to impart knowledge, and within that put right that which has gone wrong. And well, there's very little on earth that has not gone wrong. Okay, so how does he share his perspective in such a way that it becomes ours?
Well, God is a teacher, and when you first come to school, well, you're in kindergarten. And the way you teach kindergarten children and the way you teach PhD students is very different. And I think that if a person says, okay, my relationship with God is my teacher, my guide. So you begin to develop that relationship, you begin to study and so on. And so gradually you will shift from the kindergarten stage to, you know, grade one, grade two, grade three, you know. And as you shift, ways of thinking fall away. You find yourself on a different level. You will get unexpected insights which change your perspective. It's something that happens in a way. It's not up to you what happens when, it just happens to you. You just have to keep on meditating, keep on studying, and keep up the intensity of it, and all of a sudden you'll get an opening and see beyond. You didn't even know there was anything beyond, but then you're there, and then you can look back at where you've been. But you can't look forward to where you haven't got yet, because you don't know what it is, you see. But every so often the veil will part and you move forward a little bit. It's a bit more like that.
That's a lovely note on which to end. Thank you. There you go. The interesting subject of perspective. Well, we thank Sister Denise for joining us today. Distorted perspective is a subject that I find very interesting, because if you have a distorted perspective about yourself, about life, about God, about your friends and family, you do not know that you have one. You seem to think that you're fine, and it requires quite a lot of self-honesty to be able to know that you have to shift your attitude. And I think many of us fall into this category, whether we realize it or not. So I like the note on which Sister Denise ended, that God is the all-knowing one, and he is aware of how to put it right and how to introduce himself as he really is to his children. So thank you for joining us, and goodbye.